So we're up to part two, and we're looking at the next five verses of chapter 21 of Proverbs, verses 6 to 10. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. I liked that introduction so much last week. I cut and pasted it in here. So the first couple of chapters. Having the mind of Christ is what it takes to have the king's heart in the hand of the Lord. And with that spirit within us as our hope of glory, we will be as the rivers of water that he turns it whithersoever he will. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, of course, we know it's Christ working in us both to will and to do. And Romans 8, verse 14 to 16, which tells us the same principle. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, which is the rivers of water that he turns whithersoever he will, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Crying out to God, of course, Christ cried out with strong prayer, and he was heard in that he feared in the days of his flesh, it says. And this is the days of his flesh. If we are as he is, Christ in us is going to move us to make those fervent prayers which we cherish and covet from each other. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, oh, I skipped that. What an immeasurably great blessing to know that God has called us to be confident in the reality that we are his little remnant. Being given the power to see both sides of the pillar and the wilderness of our deceitful and desperately wicked hearts, whose wretched condition can only be overcome through Christ. So we don't have to be discouraged when you read that, you would think. If you didn't know the truth, you'd go, well, that sounds really bleak. But the truth is, that's the way God made all men, including Christ. He said, don't call me good. There's none good. Flesh is flesh. But what God is doing in this flesh is what we rejoice in and we're looking at. Romans 11:5. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Being confident, Philippians 1 verse 6, of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, the confidence that the Lord is working this work within us, which hath great recompense of reward. And the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart needs to be conquered by Christ in order to hold fast to our crown of life. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39 tells us that we're more than conquerors through Christ. And Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. So how do we do that? Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So it's very counterintuitive. Lord, if you want us to hold on to our crown, why are you putting us in harm's way? Did Christ's life get easier at the end? But was there anything impossible for God? No. And that's the point, that he's showing the world that we're more than conquerors through Christ. And that's how that life of Christ is being burnished and formed within us. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Exodus 14, verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now we know that each of these proverbs, the light and dark side of their sayings, must be understood to be within us, starting with the wicked side that is revealed in God's time and exposed by the brightness of his coming into our heavens. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And of course, the word is likened unto this pillar. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. I form the light and create the darkness, both sides of that pillar. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The getting, verse 6 now, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And another translation, the good news, the riches you get by dishonesty soon disappear, but not before they lead you into the jaws of death. These treasures spoken of in this first proverb represent the word of God that we misappropriate and our vain flesh that wraps the word of God around the idol of our hearts at first. We unknowingly are seeking death by simply going in the natural way of man, as the vanity of our flesh compels us to ask amiss and act unrighteously. A lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro, as opposed to being as the king's heart in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of waters that he turns it whithersoever he will. Ezekiel 14:4, which we know so well. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up the idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity, which we know as self-righteousness, the mystery of iniquity that's already at work before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. In James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. A lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro, and that's really what that's talking about. And our lack of faith causes our vain flesh to dominate our heavens when asking something of God, causing us to waver like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, which is what it says in James chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. And then verses 4 to 6, you adulterers, adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he gives more grace. And the word is charis, it's favor, but grace, of course, we know it's God's favor to chasten and to bring judgment into our lives so that we can learn righteousness. More grace is what breaks the cycle. The sinful cycle of lust and envy. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. It's God's favor, his grace, that teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts. And he prepares our hearts so that we humbly receive that correction as well. So there's many things happening. We are his workmanship in every part of that dynamic, in the preparing of our hearts, and the putting us through the trials that he knows we need to go through. In the New Testament, this proverb was explained by Jesus as follows in Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, You fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And if you think of Christ, if he had that attitude of just thinking, well, I've laid up all this treasure, I know all of this knowledge, and then his life at the end was becoming, of course, it would never happen, but he's telling us that's our journey to keep focused because we have to endure into the end. We have to realize that the Lord is setting a stage for our victory through Christ, and it's a narrow victory, but it is a certain victory. We are called to do otherwise. In John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So we have his promise. If we are wholehearted, we will find him. He will give us what we need. He will provide our spiritual strength, the faith, the words, the comfort, everything we need. Proverbs 21:7, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. However, we rob God and ourselves when we don't present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him to be judged, which is our reasonable service. That word is latria, G2999, service rendered for hire. And that's what we are. We're hired. We're bond slaves of our Father, of Christ. Robbery, the word there is shod, and havoc, H7701, violence, destruction, devastation, ruin. Amos 3, verse 10, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery, same word, in their palaces, H7701. Malachi 3, verses 8 and 9, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If God is working with us in this age, his chastening grace is going to abound. So we don't neglect so great a salvation and continue to believe unto salvation. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both yourself and them that hear thee. Now, you may not do that in this age, or you may be helping, and you are. We are helping each other grow in grace and knowledge. But in the long run, he's telling us here that if we continue in the truth, it will set us free, and then we will be used to set the rest of the world free with the same words that God has used to set us free. Hebrews 3, verses 14 and 15, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In Philippians 1, 6, we talked about that last week, being confident of this very thing that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 29 to 31. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God? That would be casting away your confidence in God. And hath counted the blood of the covenant, the strength of God's word, in other words, and the promises that he's made, wherein he was sanctified, an unholy thing. That Christ was sanctified by that process, and he's telling us he's going to do the same thing through us. But what if we did that and has done despite under the Spirit of grace? That's God's call, but we're being admonished to not do that, to do what Christ did, follow his example. For we know him that has said, "Vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." So that's a positive thing. The Lord will judge his people, but let's see the context is let's be judged now. Let's examine ourselves now. Let's go through that process now. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God has promised all mankind that robbery of the wicked that shall destroy them will one day be repented of, and a new heart and mind will be given to all of his creation. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 33, "A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded." So it's a prophecy for all the world, but it's a prophecy for us now. And having been the first to trust in God, and that's all to the glory of God. We're trusting in God, it says in Ephesians 1, verse 12. It is to the glory of God and a witness to the world that if God can take us, the weak of the world, and bring us unto salvation, well, he can certainly do that with the rest of the world. The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Proverbs 21:8. It is God alone who can give us that pure heart so that our work is right, which is straight, righteous, just, H 34:77. Being his workmanship that is not made with man's hands. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. And Psalms 127:1, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Being forward and strange is the natural default for all flesh that is cut off from God, going in a way that seems right in our own minds. But God declares our actions to be forward and strange. Matthew 17, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Very perverse, forward, H 2019 means very perverse, and strange is, it says, ex strange. Presumed to be from an unused root, meaning to bear guilt, crime. And then we have Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. To be raised in heavenly places, the housetop, and laboring to enter into Christ, our cornerstone, and rest, is why it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop. This proverb is twice mentioned in this book as a witness to us that the house is speaking of Christ dwelling in the temple that we are as our hope of glory. The brawling woman in a wide house, the word wide is H2267, represents Babylon, whose paths of destruction are wide, as opposed to the narrow way that leads to life. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 15. The way to avoid this house of spiritual harlotry is by keeping God's commandments. So the word H2267 Cheber for wide, and we'll look at this as interesting in the BDB association, company, band, society, a magician, charmer, spell. There it is, and then in Strong's from H2266, a society, also a spell. And then Matthew 7, verse 13 to 15, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So a very good description of Babylon. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Proverbs 7, verses 1 to 12. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from false prophets and ravening wolves, from the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. This is the negative corner, the other Jesus. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. So all of these inferring that there was darkness, there was no understanding, and that's where we are when we're in Babylon. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Proverbs 7, verse 21 to 23. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. And Otto mentions this verse a lot, but does it ever fit right here? While they promise them liberty, 2 Peter 2, verse 19, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And Proverbs 30, verse 20, to just sort of cap this off. And then Babylon, after we come out and we look back and we think we feel used. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. And of course, that's us. We don't realize who we are until the Lord shows us what we are, who we are, how we perceive his truths, and how we adulterate the word. Proverbs 21, verse 10, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. And the BBE says, the desire of the evildoer is fixed on evil. He has no kind feeling for his neighbor. God admonishes us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I was thinking of a verse I could have added here, was because it's such a big point and such an important point, that as times get harder and iniquity abounds more and more, the test is not for the world. The world is in Satan's hip pocket. The test is for, it's for our sakes. Are we going to beat the manservant? Are we going to get mad at a world that's run amok? God's caused it. He's allowing it. And it's for our sakes to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that takes a miracle. And that's the miracle that the Lord wants to show the world through the body of Christ. Our discipleship, our ability to love the unlovable in a very corrupt world. This proverb, therefore, speaking to our deceitful and desperately wicked hearts. that needs to be diligently watched over as we learn to keep under ourselves and die daily in order to follow peace with all men and holiness. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicings which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that's all a work of the Lord. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6. Sorry. If we're not striving to capture our thoughts and bring them into subjection unto Christ, we will end up not kissing the Son and will not show favor to our neighbor or our enemies who are to be beloved to us as the other fold that Christ commands us to love. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6, casting down imaginations through Christ and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. That's impossible to do. And it's a process, but we can do it through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled within, primarily, but being ready to forgive those who are against us and turn the other cheek. Psalms 2, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And I mentioned this early, to the praise of his glory, Ephesians 1, 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Matthew 5, verse 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And again, it's the hardest thing to do, but even if we fake it until we make it, I've been in situations where that person just, they were so mean to me. And you have this initial burn. It's hard to not go into that mode, but you walk away and you pray, and the Lord is faithful to soften our hearts and to genuinely pray for them and forgive them from our heart, not with the Christ from the cross. We often say, when he said forgive them, it wasn't a capricious prayer. Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. No, it was from his heart. If it wasn't from his heart, he would have been truly forgiving them. And that's what God can do to us. But it is a process and it takes time. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:47. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? This verse in Deuteronomy 15:9 sums up the point and admonition of Proverbs 21:10 perfectly. And it ties into the studies Mike's been doing on the Jubilee. Deuteronomy 15:9, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou give him not. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Giving him not is not necessarily a physical thing, although it might be, but it is our attitude and our love and our forgiveness. And Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So God's looking at our heart, and conceit is something that can happen very easily. And so we pray for him to root that out of us. Matthew 5, verse 47 and 48. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. If God is working with us, we're going to be aware of our need to die daily and keep under ourselves, and the need to be chastened and scourged as his children who are being received, and obeying the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. Verses 5 to 15 in Hebrews 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days chastened us. For they verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. How is it healed? Follow peace with all men. So right after he says that, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The fruit of the aforementioned chastening of Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11, revealed in the next verse, in these verses from 12 to 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, God's favor, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So we want the Lord to deal with that root of bitterness before it even starts to take off. The trial of our faith is what is keeping us under his wing. And so we must not despise or grow weary of his correction that manifests the trial of our faith that is precious unto God. Precious in God's sight is the dying daily death we are called unto. Precious is the death of the saints. It says this in the first, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalms 116, verse 15, and of course, 1 Corinthians 15, 31. I protest by your rejoicings, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That's precious to God. He knows that we see that we're in a process, it's a lifelong process, but he's faithful and he's going to take us through it. As he makes his strength perfect through our weaknesses, these are the necessary circumstances that will be found in the lives of God's children, because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. Luke 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. John 10, verse 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, and not given to us at that time to believe. But now, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Acts 14, verse 24, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And of course, with the faith of Christ, we can do that. We can go through that much tribulation, and we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge. Lord, help us to most gladly receive the much tribulation which we must go through to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.